Good evening, wonderful people, great Bia friends, wherever you are. This very day, the 11th day of May in the year of our Most High Elohim 2021, the time now exactly 2 minutes past 7 p.m. in the evening in the holy and blessed land of Biafra, I welcome each and every one of you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, regardless of where you're domiciled and you're listening to us this very day. My name is Mazen Nnamdi Kanu. I am the leader of IPOB all over the world, the indigenous people of Biafra. I am the director of Radio Biafra and Biafra Television. And by the grace, very special grace of the Most High, Chukwukikai Bamapurimihin in Elohim Adonai El Shaddai, a servant of the wonderful people of Biafra. And as always, every outstanding protocol being observed, I urge you, please, to let those around you participate, even though they may be far from you. If you have an internet-enabled device, you should be able to listen to us. If you have a functioning transistor radio that has the FM dial on it in parts of Biafra land and some parts of Oduduwa and the rest of the zoo, you must also be able to listen to us. We are on satellite, We are on IPOB Community Radio app. We are on Radio Biafra. We are on TuneIn. We are on Simple Radio. We are on, just name it, we are there. We are also on YouTube, University of Radio Biafra. We are on Twitter. We are also on Instagram. People now prefer to listen to us via Instagram. A lot of people are flocking to that very platform. If you have not opened an Instagram account, try and do so. If you have not opened a Twitter account, try and do so, because we are also simulcasting on Twitter this very evening. If you go to my Twitter handle, at Martin Namdekano, we are there live. If you also go to Instagram, at Mazen Namdekano official, underscore official, we are also there live and direct. And heaven, as always, will bear us witness this evening as we preach this very gospel of redemption, a gospel of hope, and a gospel of renewal, a gospel of restoration, a gospel of enlightenment, that even for the very first time, because of what we are doing, Southern governors, for the first time in living memory that I can recall in the zoo, they met in Abuja, and I will be going through their communique very, very shortly. For the first time, they are gathering and finding a voice to make their demands heard by their masters in the North. When I say the North, I mean the Sharia North, not the Middle Belt. This is exactly what I expect Middle Belt governors to do as well. So we know that they are serious. And I believe that as time goes on, perhaps even the South may be able to incorporate the Middle Belt into their meetings, but that will be for another day. This very evening, we are going to pray as we are accustomed to doing here. We are going to hand over our proceedings very, very briefly and concisely to the Most High Elohim in heaven. We must pray. Chukwuka bema prumi njani ne onye na den sombeni ne bigebi. Onye na efe we na sopru mbeni ne. Anye ne buli olu anye ne nelu ebe yenu no wani ne na kebre we na jagema. We ne togi. We na agosi ge. Onye dị nsọ mgbe niile ebighị ebi. Onye imeli igwe. Onye ọ bụ naanị ya na-achị. Onye ọ bụ naanị ya nọ n'oche eze. Elu ụwa wee bụrụ ebe ntụkwasị ụkwụ ya. Anyị na-arịọ gị. Anyị na-aja gị mma. Anyị na-eto gị. Na-asị gị ezi nna pụrụ ime ihe niile, biko nye ụmụ gị ezi echiche na amamihe. Nye ha akọ ma nyekwa ha uche. Tinye ha n'ime mmụọ ha. Mmasị nke ụmụnne, n'ihi na mgbe niile na nwanne na aka enyi. Ka anyị were ịhụnanya, ịdị n'otu, mmekọrịta nwanne na nwanne, were na-aga njem nzọpụta nwere onwe nke gị onwe gị dịrị anyị ka anyị wee gaa. Ma lekwa ndị nrọ nna nke ebere dị ngọzi, isi ga-ekpu ha niile n'otu n'otu. Aka nsị ha bụkwanụ ha ọnụ site na mara gị. Ịgba okwu na-anya ume ezi nna dị ngọzi. N'ihi na ọ ga-amasị anyị. Anyị gụrụ mgbe bịa, anyị wee too gị. Gọzie aha nsọ gị n'ihe ọma nke ị na-ebe n'ime ndụ anyị. Anyị wee na-asị na onwe gị Chidika gị. O nweghị onye ọbụla kere eluigwe n'ụwa ma e wezụga gị nna nke igwe. Ma o nweghị ihe ọzọ ị ga-eji wee hụ anyị n'anya wee karịsịchaa. Anyị anaghị efe arụsị. Ọ bụ naanị gị bụ Chineke nna nkusi niile nke ndị aka anyị na-akpọ isi ala anya. Ya metụ gị n'obi nna ndị nsọ na anyị bụ ụmụ gị. Ya metụ gị n'obi na ala Biafra bụ ala nke gị. Ya metụ gị n'obi onye nwe anyị na Chineke nna ka ị wee lekọtakwa Izrel ka isi lekọta ya na mgbe agbanyeghị atụmatụ ụjọ niile nke ndị nrọ. Anyị wee na-arịọ gị ka ịhụnanya gị wee mụbaa n'ebe anyị nọ. Ka iru gị wee chaa n'ebe anyị nọ. Ka ị wee gọzie ụmụ gị n'ụzọ pụrụ iche bụ ụmụ gị bụ ndị IPOB n'ụwa niile ndị tụrụ ugo. Ezinụlọ nke iji aka gị wee hiwe. Ka ọ ga-abụ n'ikpete m azụ. Site n'ihe ịrịba ama nke gị onwe ga-eme n'ime ndụ anyị, ụwa niile ga-asị n'ezie na ndị dị etu a bụ ụmụ Chineke. Anyị wee na-arịọ gị ezi nna bi n'igwe. Ka ị wee nara otuto, nsọpụrụ, ịja mma, mbuli elu na ikpe isi ala. Ugbu a na mgbe niile ebighị ebi ka anyị na-arịọ gị ise. Thank you very much, some of you. Did I say Abuja? It was in Ahaba. They met in Ahaba, not even Asaba. Ahaba. As we have Ahabi many as well. Across Urimuni Obaro, that some of you call, or should I say the white man named River Niger. We are here to preach this very gospel. This very news broke very, very late. It wasn't my intention to cover it, but we are going to dwell on it very, very briefly before we proceed to the rest of the items we have for you this evening. For the very first time in living memory, the southern governors met in Ahaba. The real name is Ahaba, A-H-A-B-A, not Asaba. They met in Ahaba under the auspices of governors of southern Nigeria. This is the first time I don't know if they have ever met before. If they have met, please try and enlighten me. I'm not sure they have ever met before. And why did they meet? Because of the raging agitation in Biafra land and also in Oduduwa land. That was why they met. For people, there are some people that will be saying, oh, what? I'm sure that nobody is even talking about what have they achieved, what have they done. But I just want to remind you, should anybody ask you tomorrow morning what you have contributed towards the advancement of the betterment of the lives of the people on the ground, you say to them, courtesy of what I have been doing, the southern governors have now met for the very first time. And I don't know if some of you read the article in Guardian earlier today. Guardian is even carried it. Do you know that there was a particular governor from so-called South-South that did not want to come? Do you know that Fulani Janjaweed gave one particular governor, Borg, you know, the listening device, to enter into the meeting with? And I'm sure that people have guessed right, you know who that very individual is. Darling Mrs. Anyway, but love is good. We'll get to that later on. He's in love. You know when you're in love with somebody, there's nothing you'll not do for that person. You know how love moves people. He is so in love with his new partner, his new spouse, the new husband, that they gave him listening device, a bug. Tambuwal gave him a bug, a listening device, to smuggle into the meeting. So that the Fulani Janjaweed will be somewhere in Kaduna, in Abuja, and in Sokoto listening to the meeting. Because of love. And who can blame him? Hey, love and wanting. You know, love is very deep. Mrs. Tambuwal wanted to smuggle a listening device. Go, if you doubt me, go and read the article. It's in the Guardian newspaper today about this very meeting. They will tell you. But let me go. You know, when people do something that is right, I commend them. If you do something that is wrong, we shred you, we condemn you, we bury you alive, if need be. Of course, with facts and figures. They met today, they deliberated amongst many issues that were tabled before them or issues of concern that they felt they needed to address. And I'll read it for you very briefly. They affirm that the peoples of southern Nigeria remain committed. For the very first time, they're using the word the peoples of southern Nigeria, which means that all the nonsense being done by Tinubu and his cohorts is in vain. For the very first time, there has been affirmation that the South is actually one since 1914. This is the very first time that they are stating publicly in a communique that the South is one by the elected leader, so to speak. For the purposes of our program this night, we may even call them leaders. Because they did well. I must tell you the truth. Now, let us proceed. And before you, who brought them together in the first place? One is our agitation. Second is the unity and union, the bond between the East and the West. Between Biafra agitators and those agitating for Oduduwa, they have tried everything to break us. They could not break us. They had no alternative than to come together. Do you see what consistency does? This is the benefit of consistency. Once you're consistent in life, good things will come to you. And I also commend our Oduduwa brothers this very day for their resilience and their consistency. That is why, for the first time in a meeting, in a place, you have governors from the East, you have governors from the West, Igbo governors, Yoruba governors, of course. together, saying something that makes sense for the first time in living, that I can even remember. The North, the Janjaweed will meet in Arewa House. They will take decision affecting the whole of the zoo, affecting everybody, and they ram it down your throat. You have to accept it. And where they found this courage, I have no idea. Maybe they are emulating what we are doing. They now understand that we have no fear before our enemies. They now understand that we are scrupulously clean, whiter than white and whiter than snow. They now have developed, or should I say, come to appreciate the essence of courage and determination. So for coming together, of course, I commend them. I do commend them because they have done very, very well. During this very meeting, they affirmed that peoples of southern Nigeria remain committed to the unity of Nigeria. Well, of course, that's expected if you consider that they get their monthly allocation. Everyone wants to go to Asorok. So they will say they want unity of Nigeria. But they want unity of Nigeria on the basis of justice, fairness, equity, and oneness, and peaceful coexistence between and among its peoples, with a focus on the attainment of shared goals for economic development and prosperity. English, it has no meaning. The latter part of what they have written here has no meaning, because they've been saying this rubbish for very many years. Now, the second point on the communique states, observe that the incursion of armed herders, criminals and bandits into the southern part of the country has presented a severe security challenge, such that citizens are not able to live their normal lives, including pursuing various productive activities, leading to a threat to food supply and general security. Basically, they are warning Fulani, Janjaweed, terrorist headsmen, short for Mieti Allah. They have now come out to say that they are concerned about the activities of Mieti Allah. Consequently, the meeting resolved that open grazing of cattle be banned across southern Nigeria. In other words, if you see any cattle in any farm from tonight, anywhere in southern part of the zoo called Nigeria, you kill it. You are enforcing the law made, or should I say, a directive, executive order made by those that you claim you voted for to look after your affairs. They noted that development and population growth has put pressure on available land and increased the prospects of conflict between migrating herders and local populations in the south. Given this scenario, it has become imperative to enforce the ban on open grazing in the south, including cattle movement to the south by foot. Nobody should bring cattle into the south. In other words, Ruger is dead. Cattle highway is dead. Cattle path and cattle routes, they are all dead. From what they deliberated and came to conclusion to this very day in Ahaba, they concluded that anywhere you see Mieti Allah with their cattle on foot inside your farm or anywhere, of course, in the East, we call Eastern Security Network, and we treat them the way we have been treating them. Why are they saying this? Because we took the bulls by the horn. We don't mess about all this nonsense they are doing. All that rubbish. I'm going to take your goat in the rubbish. If we find you in the bush, you are bushmeat. You are gone. Both you and your cattle, you are finished. So now that gave them some liver to come out to say that we are now banning cattle movement. Number four. We recommend that the federal government should support willing states to develop alternative and modern livestock management systems. And I wonder, why are you taking permission from the federal government? Was it not Osun State or whichever state in the West, in Yoruba land, imported 250 pregnant cows from the USA? That one didn't, once they told the cow, you are now in Nigeria, the cow broke away from the crate. I wanted to run back to the USA. A governor was able to do it without permission. But these ones, of course, they have to bow to their Fulani masters. They are taking permission from their Fulani Janjaweed, as if to say that cattle herding, or should I say animal husbandry or dairy products, is the exclusive preserve of Mieti Allah. That is why you're going to the government to go and look for excuse to start your own cattle ranch in your states. because you have agreed that nobody should enter into the cattle farming or rearing business unless you are a Fulani, unless you are Mietiala. Arrant nonsense. Pure bunkum. That is where I fault some of the things that they have said today. This one doesn't sit well with me. It doesn't sit. Why do you have to ask the state, the Abuja, to allow you to have cattle farms, or should I say, rare cattle, where you come from? You don't need permission from anybody. It is food for feeding of the people, so you don't need permission from anyone. Now, listen. They said they have agreed to progress. We have agreed that the progress of the nation requires that urgent and bold steps be taken to restructure the Nigerian Federation, leading to the evolution of state police, review of revenue allocation formula in favor of sub-national governments, and creation of other institutions which legitimately advance our commitment to and practice of true federalism. Once again, they're begging for restructuring. That's what they're asking for, but along state lines, because they are governors. Because they know that if they ask for restructuring along the lines of region, vis-a-vis the constitution of 1960 and 1963, somehow most of them will be out of a job. Do you see how parochial, do you see how selfish these people are? What concerns them is their office for them to protect it. That is why they are arguing for restructuring along state lines where you will not answer your name. Where somebody can say, oh, I'm from River State that has no meaning. I'm from Delta State that has no meaning. I'm from a state that is named after a river, no longer the people. Because they know that if we ethnicize the identity of people in the zoo, our eyes or the eyes of everybody will open at the same time. They don't want to ethnicize it. What they want to do is to go with this same artificial boundaries, the same thing that the white man did. That is what they want to recreate. They want the entrenchment of the state system in the zoo in order for them to remain relevant and valid in office. And we are against that completely and totally. Now, these southern governors are recommending that in view of widespread agitations among our various peoples, here we come, you know, we have now come into the play. Oduduwa and Biafra agitators, we are now in the game. They are now talking about us. Let us hear what they had to say. We recommend that in view of the widespread agitations, of course, by IPOB and Oduduwa agitators, among other various peoples, for greater inclusiveness in existing governance arrangements, the federal government should convoke a national dialogue as a matter of urgency. So we are now moving very close to that referendum we talked about, isn't it? Because after or once you pick up a gun, it will always end on a round table. Not the table with the four corner, no. The rectangular ones, no. Always on a round table. And they now understand it very clearly. They are now calling for national dialogue. If they have the clout, if they have the presence of mind or conviction to push these things through for their counterparts and their husbands in the north to agree to, is another matter altogether. But at least they have said it. And they must also be commended for it. They also recommended that in deference to the sensitivities of our various peoples, there is need to review appointments into federal, you know, like federal character, that Fulani should not dominate everything. This is a very diplomatic way of saying that Fulani should not take over every sensitive security position in the zoo. It must also go to other ethnic groups as well. Now, this is one that I love very, very much. We have resolved to foster cooperation among the southern states and the nation at large. For the very first time, they are saying that the Igbo and Yoruba will work together. Izon is there, Ijo is there, Ibibio is there, Efik is there. For the first time since 1914. Some of you may be shocked. This is the only time since Lugard, that wretched Lugard, came into the zoo to turn us into wild beasts and animals. I'm telling you, this is the first time that southern protectorate you've been hearing about, this is the first time that their so-called leaders are meeting since 1914. Over 100 years ago. Over 100 years ago, this is the first time they're meeting. Imagine if they had been meeting all these years as their northern counterparts were doing. Do you know why they met? in Ahaba. They met for the simple reason that the divide and rule tactics of the North is no longer working. They can no longer divide us. And where I should give credit, I won't hesitate to give credit. There's a group called Nzuko Mona, the ones that started this handshake across for us, because the boundary is not in Niger, it's in Igodomigo. They started all this movement to try to unite the South. Nzuko Mona, they are called. They have been fighting for very many years. And I also give them credit because this is as a result of what they have been fighting for over the years. What Biafra and Oduduwa agitators did was to give impetus to this very thinking. That is why we are where we are today. For the first time since 1914, over 100 years ago, the leaders of the South are meeting to discuss something, should I say, issues of common interest. They have resolved now to cooperate. Let it not be that when your husband calls you now from the North, you start panicking and saying, I'm not part of it. I'm from the Southeast. I'm from South-South. I'm from Southwest. Once you maintain that united front, you are impregnable. Even if one stupid governor may be responding to what the husband is requesting for from the North, once you are united and you're very, very strong, the Janjaweed will bow to you. These are the things you must understand and have that in mind. Now, they have expressed concern. This is where they now come to Radio Biafra. I want you to understand that this meeting today in Ahaba is all about those that want freedom. And what we have been preaching on Radio Biafra for very many years, now it is sinking in. They pretend they don't listen, but everybody listens to what we have to say on this noble platform. I mean, absolutely everybody. They listen to us. And we are winning this very war of ideology and war of philosophy. Why am I saying this? The governors expressed concern on the continued gridlock on Osho-Diapapa Expressway, which we have been talking about now for years, and the chokehold it has exerted on the nation's economy, being the sole outlet from Apapa Wharf. The meeting therefore recommended the activation and establishment of ports in other states of the Federation to create new jobs and promote socioeconomic activities in the country. What I have been preaching for very many years, isn't it? When I was in the dungeon in DSS, somebody came to me and asked me, what would you like to see done? And I said to them that you must open the seaport in Warren, open the seaport in Igwacha that the white man named Port Harcourt, open the seaport in Calabar, and allow Onitsha River Port to function. In fact, you can even go as far as building another one in Lokoja as well. I wrote these things down and I gave it to the federal government of Nigeria. When the Eastern governors called us for a meeting, I went to Eastern governors and I gave them the same thing. I never asked them for any money. I didn't ask them for anything. I didn't ask them to make my life better, to buy me a helicopter or to buy me a private jet or to open an account for me in the Cayman Islands, stuffed with dollars. No, I asked them. I said to them that our people need employment. I said to them, go, the railways they are building in Nigeria today was my recommendation when I was in detention. I said to them, I'll give you this sound economic advice for free. But of course, they misused it. I said to them, if you go to everything I've been preaching for the past, I don't know if it's 7 or 8 years, it is there. Now, for the first time, they have agreed. They have come together to agree that Warri Seaport should be opened. Calabar Seaport should be opened. Igwacha, that they call Port Harcourt Seaport, should be opened as well. Now, do you understand it? I want all the intellectuals to understand how far we have gone. We always win. I said to all of you, in the end, we win. Just remain consistent. Do not waver. Do not move to the right or to the left. Remain where you are on the path of truth, justice, and honesty. Eventually, your ideas will prevail. And today it has prevailed. They are now asking for the creation of jobs and the promotion of socio-economic activities in the southern part of the damnable Zoological Republic. The meeting expressed concern on the economic implications of another lockdown on the country. Now they know. They now know. This is what I want to talk about this evening. Before this is very news or communique was issued by the governors of the South, they are locking everybody down to stifle the economy, to move hardened terrorists into the South, to commence the final onslaught, the final phase of the Islamization agenda of the Sokoto Caliphate. It's not nothing to do with COVID. Absolutely nothing to do with COVID. They want to bring these people down to our land to commence the final onslaught before 2022, when they had hoped to overrun every inch of territory in the South on their path to the full Islamization of the damnable contraption we know as Nigeria. They do not want another lockdown, and therefore suggested greater coordination and cooperation between federal and state governments in evolving strategies for dealing with the pandemic. In other words, no Yusuf Abubakar Mohammed cannot sit in Aso Rock anymore and issue directives saying, oh, we're in a lockdown. And what stupid lockdown? The Fulanis are using it to stifle us. We are rice. We are rice. The borders are open in the north. They can bring in rice. They can export cement. They can cooperate with their Niger Republic brothers and sisters and cousins. But in the south, they say no movement. Lockdown. They want to stifle us economically, because if you don't have money, there is no way you can lobby the world. There is no way you can buy weapons. There is no way you can exert any measure of influence. They want to be the ones handling the money alone. That is what they are planning to do. But I'm glad that the southern governors have come to their senses, or have realized that eventually, or at last, they must rise up to say something about this stupid, ridiculous lockdown that the Janjaweed Caliphate is proposing. Now, they express very grave concern on the security challenge currently plaguing the nation, and strongly urge that Yusuf come and address also southern governors. That thing I've been preaching. How can you have a country where the president doesn't talk to you? Is that possible? Because they know we are waiting with our Onyoko meter. We are waiting for them. Once that idiot comes out to speak, we will dissect, we will analyze, and they understand it. They do not want to put themselves to shame. That is the reason why he's no longer talking. Even the recorded ones you used to get once every 8 weeks, you're no longer getting it. Now the southern governors are saying to Aso Rock, please talk to us, we want to hear from you. Because they themselves are now convinced that Buhari is dead. They now know also that there is somebody in Aso Rock. Now they're asking him to come out to speak live to the people. And we know he can never do it, because we are waiting. We have recruited new scientists. There is no trick they will bring. No artificial intelligence. There is no deep fake video they will bring out now that will not dissect from top to bottom. From top to bottom. Now, they express their gratitude to their host, which is Ifeanyi Okorwa. He has done very well, of course. He has done very, very well to host this very meeting. I'm not excusing his idiocy and stupidity, but of course, for hosting, for once, they're finding their voice. Do you know why they're talking? Because they know that the Fulani can no longer divide them. No longer can they be divided. No more. Because even if you divide the governors, the men on the ground, the foot soldiers on the ground, they are united. The East and the West, we are now bound together. That is why, for the very first time in over 100 years, the South is reasserting its identity. Because the North will always come and say, we are the North. This is a minority of them from the Sharia region. They have emasculated the Middle Belt. Then I say, we are the North. But when they come to us, they say, oh, this is East and this is West. They divided Nigeria into three to suit them. The North, the East and the West, when they come as the North, they come as one block, one effective, dominant block. This one is playing in his own corner, West, and this one East. Now, East and West have come together. Let the war begin. That was what they did, and I must commend them, those that attended. I must commend all of them that went there. But I'm sure that let me see if Mrs. was there. Mrs., where are you? I'm looking at the names of those that signed. Oh, Mrs. came. he, she came as well. Because when he's with Tambuwal, he's a she. Then when he comes out to snort cocaine and be talking rubbish, he's a he. So the he, she, or she, he was there as well. Now we must put. That was what they deliberated upon today. And we must understand this. One of the things they discussed was the lockdown. The lockdown declared yesterday by the federal government of the Zoological Republic. That people, Mrs. was there. People like, of course, Mrs. After that, maybe tonight, she's briefing husband Tambuwal. You know what lovers do. Love is sweet. Oh. Have you seen their picture? How they are serenading. Hi. I said to my wife today that we need to try this type of pose and picture. It's so nice. We are going to do it very, 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 very shortly. We are going to pose like that as well. Did you see Wike and Tambuwal? Hey. It's as if they just fell in love only last week. Such beautiful, beautiful picture. I liked it so much. I liked it so much that I had to comment on it. So beautiful. You can see, you know, when people are in love, there is nothing sweeter than love. And now, you know, that first two or three months, or maybe they're doing their own anniversary now. You can see how happy they are. And I wish them well. Honestly, I wish she and him well. They should live happily ever after. The lockdown declared yesterday by the damnable Zoological Republic is a ploy for terrorists to come into our land. Therefore, we are not going to obey this lockdown. And I'm asking all Biafrans, everybody in Biafran territories, do not obey this lockdown. Let him come out and announce it himself. Garba Shehu and the entire Fulani cabal cannot be sitting down and writing garbage all the time for us to be adhering to. BVN, NIN, and all this rubbish. Let that dummy inside us rock come out and address the people to say to people, this is the reason why we are doing this. On a live televised address to the people. Not all that recorded mumbo, that rubbish that they trot out from time to time. Somebody, so something as monumental as restricting people's movement is being announced by the press secretary to the government. So it's an insult to all of you if you don't know, let me tell you. It's an insult to all of you that still believe in your zoo, Zoological Republic. Come out and address people. And I'm asking all Biafrans, do not obey this latest phase of lockdown. The reason being that they want to use the dead of the night to move their fighters into our forest because we have defeated their foot soldiers. Mietiala, we have defeated them. They now want to use the cover of the night. You will see them only Fulani people with their police and army and escort for that matter, moving men and materials down to the south. We must resist this stupid lockdown. It is not going to hold in Biafra land. And I must also say, because they also announced today that they're rolling out a new security, whatever rubbish, for their southeast and their south-south to meet is Biafra. I am warning every coordinator, do not sleep in your house starting from tonight. All coordinators and deputy coordinators, look for somewhere to go to. We are in the trenches right now. We are about to experience freedom fighting, what it's like. It is not comfortable. It is not rosy at all. Do not sleep at home. Do not sleep at home. Change your phone numbers. Even change the phone itself. Or else they'll be able... Now, DSS is finding it difficult to track people. Because we are making their life a misery as well. And they understand. We are waiting for them. Their own turn is coming. And when it comes, I am sure that all of you will approve of it. They say that Buhari, whoever they're calling Buhari, we don't know. Of course, we need him to be Yusuf Abubakar Muhammad. They have announced fresh security measures to tackle insecurity in the southeast. And I'm asking them this very simple question. Have you ever heard them before? Despite the progress being made by Boko Haram, ISIS in West Africa, Al Qaeda in the Maghreb, ISIS Ansuri, or whatever they call it, Miyet Yala, terrorist group, and all the rest of them. Have you ever heard them say, we are rolling out new security measures for the Northwest or the Northeast or North Central, where the Fulanis are pillaging and killing every blessed day? And the answer is no. But now, Buhari approves fresh security measures to tackle insecurity in Southeast and South-South. In other words, I told you that they're going to come. You know, Fulani has this very stupid and senseless pride in them. I know that their pride won't allow them. They must come. And remember, I will keep reminding you of this every blessed day. This Fulani army will die in Biafra land. They want to move them in. Maybe to start there, they are doing their, now is abduction. We are in the season of abduction. Very soon they will try their shoot at sight to see if it will work. But I'm not sure it is going to work for them again, considering that all the entire southern governors have now come together to issue a communique stating it very, very clearly that the way they have been handling things in the past hasn't moved the situation forward. Now what they're trying to do is to try to bring in a new measure. And I want to warn Fulani Janjaweed in Aso Rock, any measure you bring to our land, we're equal to it. Anything you bring, we are going to face you. You understand that very clearly. Okay? So it doesn't matter what the AIG does, what the IG does, and all these idiots. The more you move men down to the east, the more the north will be taken. But of course, I know it's all a part of the game plan. What they want to do is to emasculate, to intimidate. So we can become wretched, lily-livered cowards. We will now allow you to enter into our land or send us away from our land. We'll come maybe to IDP camps in Ambazonia. But it's not going to happen, and you understand that very well. And as I told you, you will take the bait. You will come. We'll lure you into our land, and your army will die there. And the places you left in the north, in Sharia, Kor, Arewa North, will be taken over by terrorists and criminals that will never, ever, ever listen to any of you. These are the things you must understand. So we are ready for you. Anytime you want, you can bring the game on. We are waiting for you. But you can never, ever have it easy anymore. All that thing that people come out, you open fire anyhow. You know that if you open fire on the people, you will be confronted there and then immediately. And you are going to die sooner than later. You will also perish. So now you understand, it doesn't matter what you announce or what you're not announcing, but we are assuring you that you are not going to prevail nor succeed in intimidating the children of God into submission. It cannot happen. You can try that nonsense elsewhere. It will work for you. But you see, in the East, it can never, ever work. Never, ever work. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Because when tyranny, as somebody said, when tyranny becomes a law for the government, massive rebellion becomes a mandate for the people. Because you cannot keep pushing us to the wall all the time, pushing us to the limits, massacring innocent civilians over and over and over again, and you don't expect them to fight back. You must be foolish. I want to remind all the intellectuals and sophisticated morons, all of them, go back a few years ago, the slaughter, the killing of IPOB family members, peaceful protesters, Shia protesters, NSAS. Every time army and police will come, they'll open fire. None of you will talk. But now in our land, they are always looking behind their backs. They don't know where death is coming from. Because I assure them, they are all going to perish. The people telling you that they have a plan to secure the East, Southeast, and South-South, according to them. Armed robbers invaded Aso Rock. So we are led to believe. Only under this regime, only under this regime, something unheard of in the whole world. It's never been, is I don't know where these Nigerians, I don't know who gave them their brain. Maybe it was picked from the dustbin. I have no idea. Some of you may have dismissed this issue of armed robbery in Aso Rock, but I want you to understand something that's never happened anywhere before in the history of the world or modern governance. Never, ever happened before. They said they ransacked the chief of staff home, Ibrahim Gambari, and Abubakar Maikano, and they stole valuable assets. That is how corrupt the Fulani people are. I told you before that is something the Fulanis, they have perfected over the years. When they finish draining any particular department of parastatal dry, they set it alight to destroy every incriminating evidence. I am sure that whatever they may have stolen from the homes of Ibrahim Gambari and this Abubakar Maikano could be financial instruments worth billions of dollars belonging to the people. If you ask, oh, armed robbers came, how can armed robbers, if armed robbers can, or should I say, unknown gunmen, enter into Asorok to go and steal state valuables? Now tell me which part of the zoo is safe. They did not sit down to say to themselves, let us look for a way to strategize and devise new security approach to Asorok to guard it. It's Southeast and South-South they're interested in. In the East, Biafra. And newspapers and their editors publish this type of junk every blessed day. And I'm asking them, they have no shame, honestly. Armed robbers came to the seat of government to steal and walked away free. You shamelessly came out to announce that you are devising a new strategy for the East. You have not been able to devise a strategy to keep yourself safe inside Asorok. That is how they reason. It is supposed to be the most secure place in Nigeria. It is now every man for himself. That is why I commend Governor Autumn for what they have done. I will ask the southern governors, when next to your meeting, invite your middle belt counterparts, and you see that the zoo will collapse within 2 weeks. Not just collapse. All those things that you have been asking for, they will give it to you. That is why all of you must come to the fullness, or should I say, to the realization that you must, without fail, keep on doing what you're doing in terms of defending your land. You must defend your land. Look at people suggesting. I mean, can you go to a gate man in a hospital and ask them to administer any form of treatment because you found them at the gate. Because you found them at the gate of a hospital. These people, they're like gate men. In a hospital, you are prescribing a remedy that you cannot even yourself inculcate into the plan to keep your own self safe. You're not safe. But you're busy dishing out directive to go to, we now have a new plan. I'm asking the IG of police, go and secure Asorok first. Go and secure Abuja where children are no longer going to school. Go and secure Abuja first. Go and recover Maiduguri. Go and recover parts of Yobe. Go and recover parts of Zamfara. From the same terrorists that you groomed before suggesting how peace can be restored in the East. If you want to use that as a cover to bring in your army, they're going to die there anyway. So there's no need. I will not stress myself on this. Bring them now, you're going to see. And I want to warn our Oduduwa brothers, and I made it very clear to the activists last night, that the Fulanis imported a lorry load of arms and ammunition, and the containers were being escorted by the military last night, and they offloaded this very consignment somewhere in Oshodi. But I'll come to that later on. I will give you the full details of exactly what transpired. And that was why Tinubu said that we had planned to bomb Lagos, something that is undoable in a billion years. In a billion years. They think we are very good students of contemporary history. We know the history of the war. I know personally how people from the West viewed the move by Biafran army to go and capture the seat of power or to neutralize them. It wasn't even an army of conquest to conquer Yoruba people. Of course not. It was heading straight to Dodan Barracks in those days to go and neutralize them. I know personally how my Yoruba friends have explained to me their trepidation and their fear over that very expedition led by Banjo then. We know. So we cannot try anything stupid. We can never, ever, ever, not on this earth, antagonize our Yoruba brethren. It's impossible. We can never do it. We meet all the time. We have meetings all the time. So how can we? Are you telling me that all those gallant men in OPC, all those gallant men all over Yoruba land, they cannot do any work? If we agree that they should go and start, disturbing those who are disturbing them, they have more than enough men to do it. More than enough to do it. We don't have to go there. But they lied as usual, as they always do. As they always do. As they always do. But in the north, what is happening? Some of you must be aware of what DSS is doing in and around Abuja. And you also know that DSS, they also get a cut of the ransom. Are you aware of that? Do you know that the DSS or SSS, they should be properly referred to, do you know that they get a share from bandits? So Fulani people are not even happy owning all the oil wells, controlling the Ministry of Finance, controlling Asoro, controlling almost everybody, controlling the defense budget. How many of you here are aware that the daughter of Abba Kyari is the one responsible for all Nigeria's investment abroad? It's called sovereign wealth. Investment in stock markets all over the world is the daughter of Abba Kyari. They control everything. Federal Inland Revenue, every source of finance. Finance minister is always following. Even when you plant your joro, or you plant maize, or you plant cabbage or carrot, the same Fulani terrorists will come and destroy it, use it to feed their cattle, and kidnap you in the process. Even that little money you have made by selling maize or yam or cabbage or watermelon, you now use it to pay the same Fulani to release your child, release your father, or release your mother back to you safely. Do you see what is happening? And you'll be astonished. I don't know why the mainstream media in the zoo doesn't want to give this very particular piece of news the coverage that it deserves. How we receive weapons from DSS agents and share the gains by Fulani bandits, Fulani terrorists. DSS that is busy abducting people. Oh, they want us to go into kidnapping and armed robbery as well. That's what they want. So we can start sharing the money. Okay, that's what they're looking for. They are, as I'm speaking to you, they are now in Aba and everywhere, claiming they are implementing security strategy. But the same DSS, I don't know why their National Assembly, I have no idea why these people should not be investigated, prosecuted, and shut down, DSS. Instead of contributing to making your lives as safe as it can be within the contraption, they are making it worse. I'll read it for you. They told a German television, Deutsche Welle, in a recent report that they borrow money from DSS agents. And who are the people in charge of DSS? Fulani. Who are the people borrowing guns and ammunition from DSS? Fulani terrorists. That is why the South must understand they are all in this whole thing together. They're all in it together. As the security is worsening in Nigeria, armed bandits terrorizing different parts of the country have made a startling revelation to the German, the flagship media in Germany, Deutsche Welle, that they have been receiving weapons from operatives of DSS. You see their DSS, you see them with their uniform DSS. They are worse than bandits. These are hardened criminals, and all of them are Fulani. Very, very sadly. The criminals told Deutsche Welle in a recent report that they borrow weapons from the state agents and then go to work to share the ill-gotten gains together. They go, you pay ransom. They go to school. Now I know the reason why they keep sending that terrorist Sheikh Gumi to go and negotiate. They know where they are. DSS will not go and get them or mount a rescue operation to release those who have been kidnapped. Instead, they are waiting for you to pay the ransom. They will tell Sheikh Gumi, tell them to pay. Tell them to pay. It's dicey. Operationally, it's not difficult. The terrain is, there is a valley. There is a hill. Talking rubbish. Then you give that 100 million naira ransom to the bandits. DSS will collect their own cut. Maybe take their guns or say, oh, boys, well done. In the same one, Nigeria. in the same one Nigeria. Now the world knows, because Deutsche Welle carried it, that thing we have been saying for years, that all the Fulani cabal that are in it together, every Fulani person in any sensible position in government is part of this very grand conspiracy to overwhelm all of you. If you don't submit to their will, willingly, they will use every tactic, including terror, to get it from you. Now, the whole world knows, including the government of the USA, the EU, the UK, Japan, Russia, China, everyone now is fully aware of the fact that Nigerian security forces are the ones fueling insecurity for financial benefits. It is here in the news. Go and Google it. It is very clear. Insecurity. How we receive weapons from DSS agents and share the gains. These are Fulani people, perhaps from Timbuktu, telling Deutsche Welle. And all of you are there shouting one Nigeria, making the ganja weed feel that you need them, whereas they are the ones that need us to survive. I have asked you this thing before. Go and read the amalgamation document. Lugard made it very, very clear. The reason why we are amalgamating the North and the South is because the North is poor. They have nothing. Till today, they still have nothing. These are the things you must bear in mind. The time we are live and direct for those who are peddling, I will come to that thief who Bola made it to Nubu later on. To those writing junk that Interpol is looking for Nnamdi Kanu. He fled from London. The time now is 7:55. Live. Interpol, they know where I am. Everybody knows. If you want to know, you will know. These people are stupid. Cheap gutter propaganda. That was how you managed to put the late dead Buhari in office, by writing junk and lying. You don't know where IPOB. We are very, very formidable. You don't understand that? We are highly, highly formidable. You must understand it. You must understand it. I don't blame the Fulani Janjaweed. I blame those from the South. Let us believe that after this meeting today, that the Southern leaders, so to speak, or the governors, in their various capacities, will now have the need to be meeting more regularly to articulate a common position and stand when it comes to the issue of governance within the damnable Zoological Republic. Because all of you planning to come and conduct security, whatever rubbish in the East, all of you against the agitation to break up Nigeria. I want to also remind all of you that there was a time when the Fulani Janjaweed Caliphate inspired the northern peasants to rebel and revolt against the Nigerian state. They threatened secession. During that very period, the British government did not send their armies to go and kill all of them. Instead, it was Dr. Azikiwe. I don't want to say his first name because I share the same first name with him and it irritates me. It was Dr. Azikiwe that appealed to the Fulani Janjaweed not to secede from Nigeria in 1953. So when you hear a malam, when you hear Alimajiri writing nonsense on Facebook, I want you to remind him or her, it was you people, the Fulani controlled northern part of Nigeria, that planned to secede from Nigeria. This is not 1966 coup or anything. Before then, in 1953, the first people to ask to exit Nigeria is the Fulani Caliphate of the North. But today, when you hear them talking, you will think somehow that because then they have not discovered oil. Not at least not in commercial quantity. Now there is oil, there is a commonwealth, there is one money. Dollar must flow from oil and gas in the East. Everybody now wants to die for one Nigeria. But it was Zeke's voice. I don't know if it's a very lengthy article. Maybe there are some of you don't even read it. I think it was published by Guardian newspaper. Zeke's voice that voided planned secession by the North in 1953. It was Dr. Azikiwe that appealed to the North to stay in Nigeria. They never went to war. Britain never deployed troops to say, oh, you want to break our empire? We are going to kill you. Now ask yourself, why is it that the foreigners are not deploying soldiers to go and kill people who are agitating in the South? Why? When they themselves agitated to leave, nobody killed them. In 1953, when Northern Nigeria were beginning to consider secession from the Nigerian colony, that would soon be a nation, Dr. Azikiwe gave a speech before the caucus of his political party, the National Council of Nigeria and the Cameroons, in Yaba, Lagos, Nigeria, on May 12th, 1953. Tomorrow will be the anniversary of this. That speech, while not disallowing secession, suggested that there would be grave consequences if the northern region became independent from the nation that was soon to emerge. Zeke did not threaten anybody. The British people who were in control of the zoo that they themselves created did not send any army to go and quell the secession. That is the reason why they banned history in your schools. That is why some of you do not know history. The first people to attempt secession from Nigeria were the Fulani of Janjaweed in 1953. Who stopped them from seceding? An Igbo man. Very, very sad indeed. You know, somehow, it's either that God wants to destroy us or we want to bring calamity upon ourselves all the time. Can you imagine what the lives of ordinary people would have been like had Zeke not intervened to persuade the northern Fulani Caliphate to remain within one Nigeria? There is something you need to understand very, very clearly. Nnamdi Azikiwe said the north will suffer because the north had nothing. Absolutely nothing. Their so-called granite pyramid were not... It's not a pyramid at all. They built plank scaffolding and piled two bags of granite on top of each other to give you the impression that they have granite when they had nothing. Absolutely nothing. Go and check it and do your own research. Zeke was begging them because Zeke himself grew up in the north. Zeke said, I was born and I grew up in Zungeru. Please don't go away. If you go away, you have nothing. You're going to suffer. You're going to be impoverished. And they listened, and they remained in one Nigeria. And now the tables have turned. And what are they doing to those who are choosing to leave the zoo that the Britain created? They are killing them, they are maiming them, they are shooting them aside. Whereas it is these same northerners that first floated the idea of secession. I hope it is becoming very, very clear for everybody. What they have given to us are headsmen, terrorists, rapists, murderers, kidnappers across the entire length and breadth of the zoo called Nigeria. They do not care. And we caused it. It was the fault of an Igbo man. Now I understand why sometimes I will speak or write very angrily about Dr. Azikiwe. Now I understand the reason why. It wasn't his fault after all. Today we are agitating to be free. Today we are fighting to be free in the east and in the west. And what have they done? The APC-led government of Lagos State, in conjunction with the Lagos State Commissioner of Police, having concluded plans to attack some parts of Yoruba land and blame it on IPOB, just to create a discord between the Yoruba nation and the Biafran nation, and to destroy the cordial relationship that these two agitating nations have maintained very lately. They want to destroy it. Tinubu knows that he's not going anywhere. So he has now unleashed his machinery. Everything in his arsenal has now come out to try to fight us, to try to fight me, and to try to fight the children of God. But he's going to fail. I want the world to know tonight that Tinubu will later pay hoodlums, because that's how they behave in Lagos, to attack some parts of that very city so they can later accuse IPOB of masterminding the attacks. This is what some unscrupulous politicians, very desperate criminals are doing in Nigeria today. I want to ask Tinubu, who is a thief and a criminal, why did you not come to the pages of newspapers and television screen to announce the numerous sackings of Yoruba villages by Fulani Janjaweed bandits and terrorists? Because there are Yoruba people right now in Benin Republic. Why was there no hoo-ha about Yoruba villages being sacked by Fulani Janjaweed? Why? That tells you all you need to know about these people and their intentions. I want to ask Tinubu, are Yoruba people not refugees in Benin Republic? Who put them in refugee camps in Benin Republic? Are you telling me that Yoruba media is afraid of their Fulani masters? And in their docility, real damage is being done in Yoruba land. You have the courage to link IPOB to whatever nefarious activities that you're planning to unleash in and around Lagos. But people that pursued Yoruba people into Benin Republic, you cannot write about them nor admonish them the way you have tried to do against the squeaky clean image of the indigenous people of Biafra. This is very, very sickening. It is a very desperate and psychopathic attempt by this very thief, this very gluttonous and insatiable criminal that will do anything to appease his Fulani overlords. The same man that introduced ethnicity and tribe into the NSAS protest, along with the same corrupt and satanic Yoruba media. They thought they were going to succeed. They tried it yesterday and it failed. Only one tweet, I tweeted, only one. The whole thing collapsed. And our first, when they were pursuing Yoruba Oduduwa activists and the agitators to ask them, what do you have to say? IPOB is going to bomb Lagos. What do you have to say? They said it's a lie. Go and ask their journalists. All the people they call, all the heavyweights, frontliners in Yoruba land, they called all of them yesterday to condemn IPOB. They said, no, IPOB cannot do such. Nobody, in fact, from the South can do such a thing. It's impossible. They were disappointed. One tweet would destroy all their lives. That was why they came up with another one today. You know, they think if they keep writing all this junk, somehow they'll demoralize us. We'll say, oh, things are no longer going the way that we want it to go. When that one failed yesterday, they come up with the nonsense today. And then the colonel ran away from London. He's wanted by Interpol. I have been telling you I want to go to court. International court. Where the whole world, in fact, by the time we finish with that very legal process, if they see a Nigerian anywhere, they will spit in their useless faces. I'm telling the truth, if you don't know. Let me make you understand. The same man who brought ethnicity into NSAS. They think, I told you, I warned all of you before. You know, that is why when people call themselves, I'm a prophet, and now they say, I say you are a fool. I told you, they will try ethnicity. They will try the use of force. It won't work. They will try ethnicity. It's not going to work. They are going to try religion. Those three things are in play in the zoo at all times. Those are the dynamics that determines where the wind blows in terms of political patronage and reward in the zoo called Nigeria. It was Igboho that said he was going to flush out Fulani killers from the bushes of Yoruba land. And barely 12 hours afterwards, IPOB is now planning an attack on Lagos. I am aware of the hatred directed towards Biafrans, I'm sure of that. But the mistakes of the past I will not repeat. The mistakes of Nzogbo, that is why I'm against anybody toppling this Fulani Janjaweed government by force. I am an opponent of coup. I hate coups, I can't stand them. Allow the people to revolt. The people should revolt. If there is any conscience in the zoo called Nigeria, June 12th, come June 12th, everybody must rise up. I want every ethnic group in Nigeria to deal with their own issues. That is why we cannot interfere in the issues raging in Yoruba land. And I wholeheartedly trust our Yoruba brothers, our brethren who are fighting for their freedom, I am begging all of you, please descend on these, your criminals, as we are descending on ours, and do it very, very quickly, because they are making your lives a misery. That second-class Muslim, PC, police commissioner in Lagos State, he's a Yoruba Muslim, but he can only lead the Jumat prayers in the north. Go and ask him, if in any mosque, even the mosque you have in Yoruba land, if a Fulani boy of 10 years walks into the mosque, he will lead the prayers. I want to ask this Lagos police commissioner, his name is Hakim, somebody. You were an ADC at the camp to Tinubu. Now you're a police commissioner. You think that all those Ibo lifestyle in Lagos can wash indeed? You don't know you're meeting IPOB? Nobody warned you, nobody told you? Do you think we're a pushover? You think that one stupid, ridiculous, misleading headline in the evening can shake us and we start panicking? You are in for a shock and a surprise, I'm telling you. You are a Muslim, you are a Yoruba Muslim. In Abuja, you cannot lead prayers in a mosque in Abuja when a 10-year-old Fulani boy is around. Even if there's no Fulani boy, a Hausa boy will lead every prayer. You are a second-class citizen to them. You cannot lead a simple Juma prayer in any mosque that has a 10-year-old Muslim boy in it. But you're busy disgracing yourselves on the streets of Lagos by mouthing your usual garbage and rubbish all the time. But this time around, they failed spectacularly to divide us. They wanted to drive a wedge between Oduduwa and Biafra. But the era of divide and rule is gone, because Yoruba youths have understood that their politicians are evil, that their tactics is to keep them in bondage. Talking about one Nigeria, amassing wealth and fortune for yourselves, while the rest of the population are busy dying in vain. For whoever is against our freedom is against God Almighty in heaven. And I believe that nobody can challenge Koko Kabem Opunmihenina. So Biafra is coming. It doesn't matter what you do, it is coming. As I said before, you know, to pick up a gun to defend your right to exist as a human being, to pick up a gun to defend your right to exist as a human being, is like losing your virginity. You don't get it back anymore. So we are going to keep defending our land until they give us referendum. That is not that way. That is not that way. If they kill us, we kill them. I say it live on air so that the whole world can hear me. So you mean I will stay in my house? You will come, you will kill me, you will go. That's rubbish. Every army formation in the East now understand, once you kill somebody, some of you are going to die. It's as simple as that. That thing you want, we give it to you. Have you been hearing them shooting and killing people? Or Fulani headsmen all over the place? There was a news I saw today, earlier today, Fulani headsmen somewhere in Anambra, and I said, show me the pictures and the videos. These are people trying to discredit the work, the excellent work that ESN is doing. Show me the video of the Fulani movement. And by this time, I will ask you, go back there and see if you find them. Men are doing a lot of work. A lot of work. A lot of work. And we must support them. Anybody coming to our land thinking you are going to kill people, then you are grossly, grossly mistaken. And this very foolish, let me tell you that they are all in it together. I don't want to say anything about Yoruba Muslims, because I know that they are more urbane, more sophisticated, more enlightened, and more progressive in their outlook and their thinking. But there's something that I want our people to pay very close attention to this very moment, please. Very, very important. Do you remember that very fire that broke out in Oshodi? I think that was last week on Thursday night, destroying goods worth millions of naira. Lasema went there. Lagos State Emergency Management Agency, full of people who went to school. They attributed the fire incident to explosives and accelerants used by unknown individuals. Fulani in Lagos, housed by Tinubu, went and bombed Oshodi Market. This was last week. They never ever blamed IPOB last week. Go and Google it. Lagos market fire caused by explosives. Understand this very clearly. Because the Fulanis have penetrated Yoruba land. They are everywhere. They are now willing and ready to unleash mayhem. They went to Oshodi Market, where Yoruba people are doing business, where Igbo people are doing business. They planted explosives. And the experts whose job it is to identify the cause of any fire, they went there, they investigated, they said the fire was caused by explosives and accelerants. The thing that will make it the fire to spread very, very quickly. At least 90 shops and offices were destroyed, razed to the ground. The outbreak occurred at Cairo Market in Oshodi, Lagos, on Thursday night of last week, destroying goods worth millions of naira. Now listen, the Lagos State Emergency Management Agency, LASEMA, attributed the fire incident to some form of explosives and accelerants used by unknown individuals. When Premium Times, the Fulani newspaper, mind you, visited the scene on Friday morning, scores of traders gathered at the entrance of the market, counting their losses and lamenting the disaster. This is the work of Miyeti Ala Fulani terrorists inside Lagos. It happened last week. Nobody blamed the Fulani. Nobody remembered IPOB then. It is because now we are hitting Tinubu very, very hard because of the expose I did on the criminal. That is why, all of a sudden, they are now planning to bomb. Whereas, bombs have been going off in Lagos before now. Even last week, Thursday, a bomb went off. Now, let me tell you what they did. To tell that Tinubu does not mean well for Yoruba people. I want to prove to my Yoruba brothers that Tinubu and that idiot called police commissioner do not mean well for you. Now, listen. The experts went to Oshodi Market and discovered that Fulanis had used a bomb to destroy businesses and livelihoods. Yet, the Lagos Commissioner of Police came out to claim that the Oshodi bombing was not as a result of explosives being used. This is happening only last week. Understand this very clearly. The experts went there and said, LASEMA went there to say explosives were used. This same police commissioner, now accusing IPOB of wanting to bomb Lagos, said, oh, no. The explosives weren't used. Lagos State Police Commissioner of Police, Mr. Hakim Odumosu, I'm reading the news for you. All this I'm telling you, they're in the news. Go and Google it. Lagos State Commissioner of Police, Mr. Hakim Odumosu, has dismissed rumors of fire incident at Cairo Market in Oshodi as being caused by explosives. Odumosu, who conducted an on-the-spot assessment, he just went there and said, he did not go with any form of equipment or detection apparatus to determine if the explosion was caused by a bomb or not. He just visited with his men and said it's not a bomb because they are part and parcel of it. Tinubu and this his boy, Odumosu, they are part of the gang bringing terror into Yoruba land and looking for who to pin it on. Experts, remember I read before, experts went there and said the explosions were caused by explosives and accelerants. Police commissioner, without any training in detection of explosive devices, went there and on the spot, he just came out of his healer's van or truck and said, no, I'm here to debunk the news. It's not explosives. That explosives weren't used. Do you understand? A police commissioner, only barely 4 days afterwards, miraculously, IPOB is planning to bomb Lagos. But who bombed Oshodi Market last week? The idiot cannot tell us. Or what caused the fire then? He cannot tell us. Because himself and his master Tinubu wants to drive a wedge between. What Tinubu is counting on is that the votes from the west and the votes from the north. Because they will say he's a Muslim. will now propel him to Asorok, because they have decided that no Christian is ever going to preside over the affairs of the zoo. In fact, it is in the hadith. Some of you don't read the Quran, but I read it very, very well. And the commentary, which is hadith, the lives and words of the prophet. It's called hadith. Go and read it very clearly. Is there? No non-Muslim should preside over a Muslim state. So what they want to do is, after 8 years of Janjaweedism, they give it to a Yoruba Muslim for 8 years. After that, it goes back to the north for another 8 years. To another Muslim. Then it comes to the middle belt for another 8 years. Do you see the game they're trying to play? Do you understand it very clearly? This man is part and parcel of those bringing terror into Yoruba land. Odumosu, who conducted an on-the-spot assessment of the damages at the market on Friday, May the 7th, a explosion happened on Thursday. They went, inspected it. The Lasema people, this fool went on Friday, May the 7th, and said that they have not discovered any bomb. How can he discover the bomb exploded now? he's an learned officer of the law. He went there after the explosive device must have gone off to say, I did not find any, because it has exploded already. You cannot find it. He said, I could not find any bomb. How can you find any bomb when the bomb has already been detonated? I can't understand these people and how they reason. And luckily, you see how God works. Luckily for us, nobody pinned this very dastardly act on IPOB. Imagine if they had said, IPOB did it last week. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine? These are the things that you know, people must understand and come to terms with. These are the people that you are calling your security agents. He's like a DSS. He's like DSS. Very, very sad indeed. Very, very sad indeed. Very, very sad indeed. That is how the zoo works for you. Imagine they have pinned it on IPOB last week. Imagine what would have happened. Imagine what would have happened. By now, there'll be destruction of goods and services. Some people who are not aware of their plans will begin to think that somehow IPOB is behind it. Do you see how God works for his children? Explosion happened. Experts came and said a bomb was used. He came and said no bomb was used. After 4 days, he's now accusing IPOB of planning to launch a wave of attacks and bombings of people's properties in Lagos. How can we do this? Such cowardly act is impossible. Cannot do it. That's the zoo for you. He is a Tinubu's boy. Tinubu thinks that he can damage our reputation, stop what we are trying to accomplish by setting our people free, and walk cozily, or should I say, majestically into Asorok as a president of the zoo. I am very, very happy that, you know, their stupid and idiotic utterances are now cementing the bond between the Yoruba people and the people of Biafra. We now know who our common enemies are. They are part of those that call themselves the elite in the south, and of course their Fulani henchmen, the Janjaweed, in Abuja and elsewhere in the Sharia core Arewa North. Their divide and rule tactics will not work again. This is 2021 and not 1967. Elohim have determined that we are going our separate ways, and that's what we're going to do. Maybe sometime in the future, our people may come together to be in one country. But not for now. We must go our separate ways. And that's what we want them to understand. We want them to understand this. And I'm sure that it is now beginning to sink in. It is now beginning to sink in. This very man, very, very sad indeed. Very, very sad indeed. What Tinubu is doing is highly regrettable and extremely sad. Highly regrettable and sad. I'm happy today that my Yoruba brethren know who the common enemy is. People in Yoruba land are wiser today. The idea of using ethnic sentiment to bring hatred is gone. I cannot recall any Igbo person or group in history having killed a Yoruba person for whatever reason, but the Fulani Janjaweed, with their brainwashed Hausa peasants, are the ones killing people. But these days, the Hausa people are clean, to be honest with you. I exonerate them. Nobody wants to address the issues on the ground. Who bombed those at the market last week? They want to apportion blame. They are planning to attack Yoruba assets in Lagos and say it is IPOB members that did it, just to bring their divide and rule tactics into our agitation for freedom, thereby dividing us. But they cannot divide us. I am telling Bola Ahmed Tinubu, you're a thief and a criminal. I will do a program for you. Not yet. Not all those new documentary, Booty Lion or Booty Long. I'm going to have your life on air. I will destroy you completely. I'm waiting for you. I will destroy you. All those media houses you're paying, the one idiot called The Wheel. I don't know who is The Wheel, all those nonsense. I'm going to catch all of you. I will destroy all of you one after the other. I will decimate you. By the time I finish with you, Tinubu, you can no longer come outside. Ask the Sadiqin Fulani of Imo State. Hopus Adema, can he come outside? He cannot come outside anymore. He can never be forgiven in this life. Never ever be forgiven. I will deal with you, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, and this idiotic police commissioner, Hakim, whatever your name is. In your next life, you'll be afraid of IPOB. You don't know who we are. You want to go back to your old, dark, evil, wicked ways. We are not going to have it. Lagos is not Biafra land. Lagos belongs to Oduduwa, is Oduduwa land. IPOB cannot attack Lagos. We are not a terrorist group, for information. Lying against IPOB is in vain. That was how you lied during NSAS, because you want your money to be flowing. I felt very, very sad and sorry for those that bought into your ethnic jingoism and all that rubbish. You want to try, because it worked during NSAS. You think it's going to work again? People are now wiser. People are now wiser. And I remember that Alhaji Mrs. Medinat Oladimeji wrote very movingly about some of your sophisticated morons in the West. It's not my job. It's for you people to deal with them at the appropriate time. But anybody who rears his ugly head or her ugly head to try to disparage what we are doing, you'll get it from me. Tinubu, you're finished. You can never smell us rock. You are gone. I will do program for you every two days. Any day you come out to announce that you're going to play, I will decimate you. I'm lagging you. All these people, that I'm sure those of you in Lagos, you know a place called Shema Petroleum, beside Westminster Market, along the same Oshodi Expressway. I now want to tell you who caused the bombing. Who firebombed Oshodi Market last week, Thursday? Because I have the intel. We have the M branch. And there is nothing that happens in the zoo that we don't know. As I told those Ozodema, somebody to tell that useless Ozodema, the Sadiqin Fulani, Supreme Court Administrator of Imo State. I know where you slept. In Imbise, it's not an official duty, so I allowed you to sleep there and go free. I know where you're sleeping in Ebonyi State. I know where you slept. I just want to mention only two places. I know where you slept in Mbise 3 days ago. I know where you slept in Ebonyi State 2 days ago. Just to let you know that we know. There is a place called Shema Depot. This depot is formerly called Aquitaine Depot. It is now owned by Shema Petroleum. Shema is S-H-E-M-A. Please, people must listen very attentively, please. It is beside Westminster Market along Oshodi Expressway. Last night, 2 nights ago to be precise, the Fulani is offloaded containers full of arms and ammunition. These containers were escorted by the military and offloaded 2 nights ago and those containers were still there after this very morning. They did not move it to Ojo cantonment or to Ikeja cantonment. Ammunitions dumped at this Shema Petroleum beside Westminster Market along Oshodi Expressway. These are the same people that destroyed that market in Oshodi. Now, do you understand it? I am giving the police commissioner, because he's a fool. He doesn't even know what's happening in Lagos. But I know what's happening in Lagos. Are there no containers offloaded at Shema Petroleum escorted by the military 2 nights ago? Yes or no? You are the police commissioner. You don't even know what's happening. Now let me tell you and the whole world what is happening in Lagos. Where the Fulanis offloaded arms with which to cause mayhem with the support of Tinubu to tag IPOB. The same thing they did during the war. They will put on Biafra uniforms. They will go and be raping women in Eket. They go to Oron. They kill villagers. They say, oh, it's Biafra soldiers. They came here and they killed us, which is a lie. Subterfuge. That's what you want to try. So, Tinubu, you are prepared to kill and destroy Yoruba businesses and lives only for you to drive a wedge between Biafra and Oduduwa agitators to pave the way for you to go to Asorok. Tinubu is a thief, a complete vagabond and criminal, a liar. The person he's calling his mom is not his mom. Or the person he called his mom is not his mom. A man of 79 years old took away 10 years and became 69. These are the people that some of you fools are even discussing or talking about to become your president. Are you not foolish? As I said, I'll do a program for him. Police Commissioner Tinubu and all the other sophisticated morons in the West. If you go to Shema Petroleum, formerly Aquitaine Depot, near Westminster Market along Oshodi Expressway, you'll find container of arms and ammunition with which the Fulanis intend to overrun Lagos. And you blame it on IPOB. Because you're foolish. You know nothing. We know everything. Everything about Nigeria is fraud and criminality. Fulani people stole 91 billion naira from the coffers of NNPC. Nobody, these are people that came. We want to fight corruption. Corruption is everywhere. If you don't kill corruption, corruption will kill you. All of a sudden, AGF, Attorney General of the Federation, Malami, a Fulani man, plus to cover up 91 billion stolen by NNPC, but they are busy chasing people with laptop. EFCC. People maybe stealing $1,000 or $2,000, but Fulani is stealing in billions. And that's why I like them all, the way they steal, and they get some of you. They get some of you to somehow pretend that you don't know what is going on. EFCC is working. 91 billion missing. A Fulani man is covering up for his Fulani brothers. But in the East, in fact, across the entire South, all they are trying to do is to instigate division so their EFCC can come and arrest people and get away scot-free. Now, do you understand it? Oh, dear me. That is the people for you. That is them for you. The same Fulani stealing your money, telling you they're investigating corruption in Nigeria. The same DSS telling you, oh, we are working to you to keep our country safe. Are the same people giving arms to bandits so that when they get the ransom, they split it. And you're telling me that people are well, that you people are normal. Bandits reveal how they receive weapons from SSS agents and split the ransom in Nigeria. Tomorrow now, so DSS, now do something. They are part and parcel of the criminal enterprise called Nigeria. They are supplying their people with helicopters. 2 nights ago, at Shema Petroleum in Oshodi, they offloaded 2 containers full of ammunition. Then Nigerian army are the people supplying terrorists to kill all of you. But you wake up in the morning and you say, oh, I'm a Nigerian. I believe in one Nigeria. Do you know that General Abdul Salami Abubakar has been linked with Fulani bandits and terror groups? He came out to say, oh, it's frivolity. Don't associate me with that. But we remember all of you saying that an attack against Boko Haram is an attack against the North. And Abdul Salami Abubakar, why should you not be blamed? You are a suspect. Do you know that Nigerian military helicopter were supplying bandits with arms inside Niger State? The same army that they claim are coming to the East to re-strategize on how to bring peace. Come now, you're going to die there. How many people are you going to abduct? How many will you abduct, I'm asking you? You're wasting your time. You're fighting a losing battle. Go and look at the history of nationalist movements all over the world. You don't defeat them. Eventually, they will be free. Eventually, we are going to be free. Why do you think that Abdul Salami Abubakar was fingered in the help or the supplies to Fulani bandits and terrorists in Niger State? Because he is the cause of your problem today with his 1999 constitution. You know, I don't believe in all these movements to destroy the 1999 constitution because the Fulani will never ever listen. They will never ever listen. Never. That is why we must be very, very careful as to how we proceed. Abdul Salami Abubakar, you gave the zoo 1999 constitution. That was a military decree number 24 of 1999. Nobody, I think, Nyanwodo sat down and explained this whole constitutional garbage to the whole of you, to some of you that paid attention to him. That very constitution was not subjected to referendum. It was written by Fulani people, does not provide for state constitution to create their own true federation. Because if you are in a federation, the state must have their own laws. They must have their constitution. Go to USA, you will see it there. Go to the state of Pennsylvania, they have their own constitution. Governor Pennsylvania. After all, you wanted to copy what a white man did in America. And of course, in keeping with our way of life in Africa, everything is upside down. Now, let me tell you why Abdul Salami Abubakar is a suspect. They said, Abdul Salami Abubakar said in his constitution that all of you Nigerians handed over your land and resources to the federal government. And if you're handing over your land and resources to the federal government, that means you're handing it over to Fulani Janjaweed Caliphate. Do you understand? Some governors answer chief security officer only by mouth. No governor in the South can give order to the PC and he'll carry it out unless the PC wants to. If you give them an order which they disagree with, they'll tell you, oh, Abuja didn't ask us to do so, so ask all your governors now. That is why the army can come in and kill as many people as possible and get away with it. Abdul Salami Abubakar in his constitution says that you can marry a girl less than 18 years of age. My God in heaven. Zoological Republic. They were the ones that put Sharia in the constitution. There is no mention of Christianity. It's only Sharia that you have in the constitution. And some of you are telling me sections 275 to 279 regarding non-state religion. Go and read it very carefully. It's all about Sharia. Sharia was mentioned in the constitution of a secular state. All of you wake up in the morning, 1999 constitution, 1999 constitution, our constitution. I feel sorry for you people. It was Abdul Salami Abubakar that encouraged the army to supply arms to bandits. The same people that in 1953 wanted Nigeria to break, today they're saying they don't want Nigeria to break anymore. If you want Nigeria to break, you have to go to war to break Nigeria. This is what Fulani are telling us now. But when Fulani wanted to secede, round about this time in 1953, May of 1953, Fulani, the North, wanted to secede from Nigeria. Nobody told them, you have to go to war to accomplish it. Instead, Azikiwe pleaded with them, begged them, and they agreed. These are the things that some of you ought to bear in mind when you discuss the issues of the Zoological Republic, because things are happening. I tell you that things are happening. Things are happening. And the zoo is gone. It's finished. If they can be so desperate, the zoo is gone. Senate fixes zonal public hearings for May 27, 28 on constitutional review. It's breaking constitutional review. Because you are, hey, IPOB Chineke Gozie, you know. Hi. All these things are not happening because of what you did. Because of your consistency, you reassured our Yoruba brethren that a lot can be achieved by being honest and consistent in pursuit of what is right before God and before man. All those things that were impossible before are now becoming possible, but we are saying to them, it is too late. Because the Arewa Consultative Forum are now telling us that they don't support secession because there is nothing wrong with Nigerian structure. If there is nothing wrong with Nigerian structure, Arewa Consultative Forum, why are you now having a constitutional review? Why? You know, we always win. I told you we always win. We are getting very close. We are getting very, very close. We are winning this very battle. I can assure you, we are winning it. Now, they want to consider, in the same day, in the morning, the same people that the South were waiting upon, the same people that we were waiting upon from the South, told us that you cannot secede without war. In the evening, they are now amending, or they have now agreed to amend the Constitution. People that told us that we should, if you want to get Biafra, go to war. But when in 1953 you wanted Arewa to go, why did anybody not ask you to go to war? What is wrong with you people? Do you see how we always win our arguments? We always win it. Because we have facts and we have figures. And we have truth on our side. We have truth on our side. And that is why you can never ever defeat us. That was why when Governor Autumn said, fire for fire. If you kill us, we'll kill you. In Benue State. And now that's constitutional review. We want to review this, we want to review that. The only language the Fulani understand is fire for fire. If you turn the other, if they slap you on one side and you turn the other cheek, they'll cut off your head. The sooner you people understand this, the better. That's 2 days ago, I came down very hard on pastors and preachers. But I said some. And I want to make an exception tonight for Pastor Adeforasin of House on the Rock for his consistency lately. Because he's advised people now, I bring you greetings. If you don't have plan B, I know you have faith. I have faith too, but I have plan B. With technology, I can speak to you from anywhere in the world. Get yourself a plan B. Whether it's an Okada to take you to Cameroon or flying boat to Semeboda, a hole in the ground, a bunker, as we call it, just get yourself a plan B, because these people are crazy. They are not us. The whole bunch of them. And watch the signs, because it can happen just like this. He snapped his fingers. The collapse of the zoo. And he went on to criticize the 1999 Constitution. That should tell you all you need to know about the damnable Zoological Republic. And the reason why all of us right now must rise up in unison across the South to say enough is enough. That is the only language the Fulani understand. Fulani doesn't believe. If you're from the south and Fulani people are in your village raping, killing, kidnapping, and you're talking about one Nigeria, they see you as a fool. So you think if you appeal to them, we believe in unity of Nigeria, they will leave you alone? No. The only time they will respond is when you go for broke to destroy the whole zoo. They start panicking. That is why today they have announced a constitutional review because of this same family of IPOB. Because we are not going to give up. They understand it very well. We are not giving up. We are not giving up. Not now, not tomorrow, not ever. And I want to state tonight that IPOB do not carry any arms. I want to make it very clear. ESN do carry arms, but can never ever attack any civilian population. It's impossible. Not in our land. Our job is to protect lives and properties. Our problem is with the caliphate, captured the Fulani Republic of Nigeria, and not with indigenous people anywhere in Nigeria. I am an advocate of freedom for everybody. Therefore, I will not be in support of anybody, harming anybody in the process will not happen. We are only defending our land. And I want to assure non-terrorist Fulani people, even including Fulani northerners, in southeast, and in fact in the whole of Biafra, which is south and south-south, that I personally guarantee your safety. I have issued very strict directives that nobody should touch a non-terrorist. Nobody should touch them. Be they northerners or whatever, nobody should touch them. But all of you in our land, do not take sides or get involved with what the government is doing. Do not defend any police station. If you defend a police station, you will die. Do not defend any army barracks or any army checkpoints. If you defend them, you're going to die because men are on the move. When they were killing us at Ampo, why didn't you come to defend us at Ampo? National High School, Abba. In Iguacha, their snipers were taking us down one after the other. Why didn't you come out then? If you are as idiotic and as hopeless to stand to defend a police station, you will go down. Because men are very, very angry. I need to bury a console with 2,000 heads. Do you understand me? If you block any pathway, when men are on the move, you will fall. And you would have died for nothing. But we do not touch. My instructions to ESN is nobody should be touched. You remain in the forest and keep on doing your work in the bushes of our land. Anything you see there, kill it. Anything you see in our forest, kill it. Cattle, no matter who the person is. Because it is bushmeat. That's what it is. Unless you want to turn to refugees in Ambazonia, which is never, ever going to happen. I won't allow that to happen. And this evening, very briefly, I want to respond to the lovely Mrs. Tambuwal of River State, very, very briefly, that aquatic animal, because he said it's from rivers. Anything that comes from a river is an aquatic animal, isn't it? The only thing that comes out of a river is an aquatic animal. But anyway, I want to congratulate Wike on his newfound love, and I wish him and Tambuwal the very best of marriage or spousal relationship. As I told you earlier, I will be copying their pose, because if I copy something, I admit it. I'll be copying their pose. Myself and my wife are going to pose like Tambuwal and Wike. You know, when you're in love, we can even renew our vows. And the pose was very, very nice. I understand, Wike, you are always under the influence of drugs and alcohol. Perhaps to numb the pain you go through every night. But we must proceed. I also do understand that wearing pampers at your age may be very, very hurtful, but I will take my time to explain things to you the way you'll be able to understand it. Because you came out and you made a statement that rivers can succumb to secessionist agenda. And I want to let you understand that when a referendum is conducted, I'm sure by the morning you'll be going to cast your vote either for Nigeria or for Biafra. Your eyes, I mean, whatever draws you may have taken the previous night would have cleared. You only have one vote. You do not speak for the people. You only have one single vote. And it's a shame that Fulani people are even in your village, preventing our mothers from going to the farm. You quislings will never learn from history, but allow me to teach you what you don't know, that somebody actually brought to my attention a few days ago. Obako Ikwere, Obako Ikwere, gathering of Ikwere people. Obako is an Igbo word, mind you. You wrote a letter to the Benin Kingdom seeking to identify with them. But the Benin people told you that they have no evidence that you are related to them. This fact is on record. But just to state that we must be very careful as a people not to allow the quest by, this is just written by Ikwere man. We must not allow our quest, or should I say the quest by some people to be politically correct, to cast us into the bottomless pit. Nobody, and I did not say Ikwere is evil, he's not saying that, but it is doubtless that Ikwere, as a multi-ancestral ethnic block, has most of his ancestry traced to Igbo land. All the crap that Igbo hates Ikwere is just a post-Civil War narrative and script that has never worked for us. The same thing they tried to do between us and our Yoruba brothers and sisters. They will always divide you. The only reason why they have oil wells, they control the oil wells in your land, is because they were able to divide you. The only reason why they killed Kensaruwa was because they were able to divide. Once it's divided, once they cut you out, they conquer you. All the oil wells in Ogoni land belongs to them in the north. And they killed Kensaruwa in the process. The same thing will happen to you. The writer went on to explain what is called carbon dating and all the rest of it. And I want you to understand this. There is something called carbon dating. Carbon dating, I'm sure you know what it is. It is there for us to apply further beyond rabble-rousing, according to Livingstone, who wrote this very brilliant piece. Let us look at it this way. What is Benin about Ikwere? Benin people denied any link with Ikwere. It is on record. Ironically, Elele people are in court in Benin claiming that they own Benin and not the other way. They claim strongly that they were in the land of Benin as owners before the arrival of Benin people, which is correct. Of course, Igodo-Migodo. The war between Oba and Idu people that led to migration. Even present day Ihiala came from Igodo-Migodo land. Are you also aware that a lot of prominent Ikwere people that have traced their ancestry to Ungwa, to Aro in Igbo land? Are you aware that Ohaji in Imo State is an Ikwere clan? Ohaji, Ebema, Ohaji in Imo State is Ikwere clan. Part of Ohaji is in River State. Part is in Imo State. The same family. They cut them into two. I want to educate the idiot. Are you aware that Ohaji in Imo State is an Ikwere clan, which Professor Otinti affirmed in his book, History of Ikwere, Volume 1? Do you know about Ikwere Ede in Imo State? In Imo State, oh, Ikwere? When you struggle to assert an erroneous Benin ancestry or kill the Igbo roots, you raise the flawed argument of abandoned property, yet for the records, because you were trained with stolen property. That is why you do not have the guts to stand up and identify who you are. Because if you say you are Igbo, the land will kill you because you stole your brother's property, as is written in the book, in the very holy book of Exodus. Thou is a commandment from God. You should not covet your neighbor's property. You think they don't know? Those are them. I'm Ikwere, but I'm not Igbo. Because it is in the scriptures. Thou shalt not covet your brother's property, nor take his wife. You cannot do it. It's a commandment from God, a commandment from Elohim. That's what you're running from, because you stole properties during and after the war. The shame is too much for you to bear. So the only thing for you to do is to remove yourself. Now let me continue. Mrs. Tambuwal, if your cocaine can allow you to reason through what I'm saying tonight. Sir Jackson MP, MPI, first and last equated to be conferred with knighthood of the Order of the British Empire, OBE, by Queen Elizabeth II of England in 1960, identified himself as an Igbo man. He was a knight of the realm. Maybe you don't know him, Sir Jackson MP, because you don't. The only history you learn is from Hennessy, cocaine, and the face of Tambuwal. Maybe sleeping on your back, let me not go too far. He is from the ancient kingdom of Isiokpo. Sir Mpi worked tirelessly for Igbo advancement. Are you listening, Ochicha? I'm sure you heard of Dr. Obi Nwale, the first Ikwerre PhD holder. He was a senator and university lecturer. He was also the only Ikwerre in the 1978 Constituent Assembly, where he was selected as one of the 50 wise men that drafted the 1999 Constitution. The great Dr. Nwale identified fully with his Igbo heritage and was killed because of it. Maybe that is your fear. It didn't stop there. I'm sure you know about Okobule Nwonade, which is Nwanade in Imo State. Nwanade, as we say where we come from. The first Ikwerre registrar of any university. First and only Ikwerre poet and paramount title holder of Eze Ohiameru, where you have present-day Comprehensive College in Borokiri, was his ancestral home before the British vacated them. In fact, our problem started with the British. They came to Borokiri and took all of us away. That's evacuation by force. Nwonade remained a respected member of Nzukọ Igbo and Ohaneze Ndị Igbo to the end of his life. Are you listening, cocaine snorter? Are you listening, Mrs. Tambuwal? You remember Emmanuel Aguma, who was the former mayor of Igwacha, Port Harcourt, as principal of St. John College in Diobu. He was the first Ikwerre to head any college. One of the six pre-independence Ikwerre University graduates, former administrator of Port Harcourt province in the defunct People's Republic of Biafra. He was an Ikwerre man and he served in Biafra. Are you listening? Emmanuel Aguma. Ikwerre man served in Biafra government. He was the first Ikwerre minister in 1979. Aguma was also a member of Ohaneze Ndị Igbo. Are you listening? Cocaine snorter. There is Emmanuel Origi, a respected local government administrator, traditional ruler, a commissioner in Old River State, and core Igbo nationalist. More Igbo than my own father. He was a nationalist. This is from Ikwerre. The immediate past Deputy Secretary General of Ohaneze Ndị Igbo, Chief Isaac Wonwu, is an illustrious Ikwerre son from Elele. He is known to assert his Igbo identity. Equally valid, Chief Jackson Womenazu from Umukrushi in the Evo Kingdom is a member of the Elders Council of Ohaneze Ndị Igbo. Mind you, Evo is in Enugu as well. For information, we asset as a name. In colonial documents written, when Igbos had no capacity to influence anything, Ikwerres also defined themselves as having Igbo ancestry. When Ikwerre leaders presented their case before the 1957 Sir Henry Willings Commission, Wobo declared that Ikwerres were Igbos, and Port Harcourt to Onitsha had Igbo links. It's too much. Maybe he will understand this and reason. You are saying you are not Igbo because you stole properties that don't belong to you against the commandment of God Almighty in heaven. And that land is what is pursuing you. But we're not going to give up. I remember what people did to try to divide us and our Yoruba brethren. They never succeeded. And all of you will not succeed to divide the house of God. We are one. We have nothing in common with Fulani people. I can see something in common with Yoruba people. I see something in common with Middle Belt people. I see something in common, even to an extent, with even Hausa people. But I have nothing in common with Fulani people. Absolutely nothing. They are not from our land. They are not indigenous to any space in Nigeria. They are from God knows where. And out of fear, your criminality and cowardice, you're allowing them to lord it over us. Maybe because of Tambua. You know, love can do anything. You know, love is blind. And I know that some of you befriended girls or boys in those days that their fathers or their mothers owned the supermarket. I think in my time, if you befriend a girl that the mother fries akara, you're in heaven. At least you eat akara, fresh akara every day in school. That's how it is. Maybe his love is blind. That is the way it is. We are all one people from Igodo, Migodo, all the way to Bakassi Peninsula, into Ambazonia. We are one people. I'm asking you, please, to do your research very well before coming out to Mount Rubbish. We have come to the end of our program this very evening. And for those writing rubbish about, should I say, Interpol, if you want to know who is being looked for by Interpol, just go on their website and type the person's name in. That's all. The person will appear there. Tinubu, you are late. You don't know what you're doing. We live in a digital age. You no longer control the news narrative. We do. Because we are IPOB. And that is why Elohim said that Biafra shall be their religion. Here on this radio, Biafra is where they will worship. Because I, God Almighty in heaven, is their God. From me, from here, as always, it is good evening.